Please remain standing for the reading of our scripture lesson, which this morning comes from the Old Testament prophet Habakkuk in the second chapter. Then the Lord answered me and said, "Write the vision, make it plain on tablets so that a runner may read it. For there is still a vision for the appointed time. It speaks of the end and does not lie. If it seems to tarry, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Well, at the beginning of 2020, how could we not talk about vision? I'll never forget the first time I realized that I needed glasses. I was probably in my mid to late 20s. And I noticed that when I went into the grocery store and I'd look at the signs over the aisles, they were kind of blurry. And I couldn't understand why the grocery store wouldn't put large enough letters on those things that normal people could read them. And then I went to a conference with my pastor, and just to date myself a little bit, the conference speaker was using an overhead projector when he was talking to us. And there again, I was looking at that presentation on the projector, and it was blurry, and I couldn't figure out, why doesn't he just focus the thing? I mean, the knob is right there. I'll do it for him if he will let me. On the way home, I was talking to my pastor about that, and I said, you know, that thing was awful blurry. I don't know why he didn't just focus it a little bit. And then my pastor said, well, I'll tell you what, you see that sign way down the road there? I said, yeah. He says, tell me when you can read it clearly. So I waited and waited, and finally I said, now. He said, you need glasses. You see, I finally realized the problem wasn't with the grocery store and wasn't with the presenter. The problem was with me. And I had to get something to fix that issue. When we're talking about the prophet Habakkuk, we don't know a whole lot about him. His ministry took place alongside the prophets of Jeremiah and Zephaniah in about the 7th century BC. And the book is basically a conversation between the prophet and God. And the prophet has several complaints that he has against God. But it ends on this wonderful note of faith and trust in God. The book goes like this. Habakkuk asks God a question. God, how long are you going to let all the problems in Judah continue to happen? I mean, people are getting abused. People are getting, they're being stolen from. How long are you going to let this happen? God tells him, well, I'm going to call the Chaldeans or the Babylonians, and I'm going to bring them down to punish the nation of Judah. And Habakkuk says back to God, the Babylonians? God, they're worse than we are. And you're going to let them punish us? And God says back to Habakkuk, listen, I'll deal with the Babylonians, but yes, I'm going to send them to punish Judah for all their wrong. And he tells him in this passage that we read, Habakkuk, I want you to write this vision down and make it in large enough letters so that the person who is running by it will be able to read it like that. And don't think that this is not going to happen, he says, because even though the vision is delayed a little bit, it will happen. So I want to talk to us a little bit about vision this morning before we share in Holy Communion. If we're ever going to accomplish God's agenda for us, we need vision. And vision has to be God-given and birthed through prayer and the Scriptures. It can't be a simple slogan or a slick marketing campaign if it's going to be effective in the church. In 2012, the Church Council authorized the Incubator Leadership Team to seek to discern God's will for the church. And I trust that those who produced the document that I read some time ago were people of prayer and people of the Word. And what they have given us in that document is in harmony with the Scriptures, and therefore it's in harmony with the heart of God for this congregation. Much has been done in recent years about our need to do things outside the church. And so we're involved in things like Eagle's Nest and Communities of Transformation and Cans for Kids and now Connections. They're among all of those efforts so that we'll be an outwardly focused church. So that we can continue those missions, we have to now circle back and shore up the most important part of the mission and the vision, and that is making disciples. Because you see, unless we continue to make disciples, we will not have the people to be able to do the missions that we are a part of on the outside of our congregation. And so what I've given you in your bulletin is what I've garnered from some of the documents that I've read. Our mission, our vision, and our core values. Those are the things that I have had kind of at the bedrock of what I wanted to do ever since I got here. I take these as gospel for our congregation. I take these and believe that this is what God has called us to do here in this place and at this time. And so you can read that for yourself. I'm not going to read it for you. But we want to honor the work of those who came before us, and we want to trust that their prayer and their commitment, that in their prayer and in their commitment, they heard the voice of God for the direction of this local church. And all of this that you have in your hands is rooted in Scripture and bathed in prayer, and I believe is God's will for our congregation. But a vision, as Max Dupree said, is a dream until it's acted on. There's been a lot of action on this. But we've got to do even more. We don't have a vision just because we have an idea. If we don't plan for the vision, allow it to shape our priorities, organize our church and our budget around it, and take risks for it, then we probably just have an idea and not a vision. And I think that at the core of all of this on this sheet of paper is this whole idea of discipleship. Disciples are defined by their relationship to their master, and their priority is to become like their master. And as we've said on numerous occasions, Jesus himself was devoted to God, responded to others with kindness, obeyed God, served others. Jesus was open-handed toward others. And Jesus offered himself and the salvation he came to purchase to other people. So what is it that you and I can do, given this mission, vision, and core values? What is it that we can do to move closer to God in 2020? And to be even more committed disciples of Jesus Christ. I think that there are a couple of things, and some of these things we're already doing. One is what we're doing right now, worship. Worship is the most important thing that a church does. It's in worship that everything else that we do as a congregation flows out of. It's worship. If our worship isn't right, then nothing else that we do as a church will be right. So kudos for each and every one of you for being here. The second thing that we need to do to move closer to God is Sunday school. But Sunday school is not just dispensing information. Information doesn't make disciples. It takes something more than that. A.W. Tozer once put it like this: religious instruction, however sound, is not enough by itself. It brings light, but it cannot impart sight. The assumption that light and sight are synonymous has brought spiritual tragedy to millions. Pharisees looked straight at the light of the world for 3 years, but not one ray of light reached their inner beings. Light is not enough. It takes the inner working of the Holy Spirit. You see, we have to act on the information that we've received. That's when we become better disciples. The third thing I think that we need to do is find opportunities to serve, both inside the church and outside the church. And there are a lot of people in this congregation who serve, a lot of them who give of their time and their talent. But there are others who need to serve as well. The fourth thing that needs to happen is support and accountability. I don't know if you understand this, but I know that in my life, every time I try to change something, a deep change that happens in my life, I need support and I need accountability. I need support because changing deep stuff is hard. How many of you have ever tried to stop a habit before? You know it's hard, don't you? And so you need help from other people as you do that. But we also need accountability. We need people to call us to account, if you will. So why is discipleship then so important when it comes to the mission and vision? Well, I think first of all, because it was important for Jesus. It was Jesus' standard. You're either a disciple or you're not. A disciple is one who works for Jesus. A disciple is one who works against Jesus. The second is it's the mark of our true allegiance to God. Jesus said in the Gospels, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not? And a whole catalog of things he strings out there. But Jesus ultimately says, depart from me because I never knew you. You see, allegiance to Jesus or discipleship is the mark of our allegiance. How much of our lives is being conformed to the image of Christ? That's what discipleship is. And the root of discipleship then is discipline, training. And nothing of substance in any part of our lives happens without discipline and without training. Think about any area in your life that you want to think about. For example, think about athletics. People do not become good athletes by thinking they want to be good athletes and then just telling themselves they are. Now, we know of people like that, don't we? They usually sit around and watch the same games we watch, but nobody asks them to be quarterback of the team, right? It takes discipline. The same thing is true of musicians. You don't become an accomplished musician by doing nothing all day long. You become an accomplished musician through discipline and practice. And then think about any other profession in any other area of life. You don't become an expert in any area by doing nothing. You become an expert through discipline and through training. And so it is with us when it comes to being a disciple. We do not make progress in the Christian life without discipline and without training and without effort. It just will not happen. Dallas Willard once said it like this, grace is opposed to earning, it's not opposed to effort. And the final thing I would say that the reason discipleship is so important is that it's the only way to ensure that the mission extends beyond our lives. For all of us in here, there's going to come a day when we're not here anymore. And my hope is that you would want the mission of the church to continue, whether you're here or not. The only way that happens is if we take seriously our call to discipleship and disciple those who are coming up after us. That's the only way that it happens. I don't know about you, but I want the mission and ministry of the church to extend beyond me. Maybe you already know this. I hope you do. E.M. Bounds was a Methodist preacher, and he was pastor of this church. I'm getting too fired up, I reckon. He was the pastor of this church from 1871 to 1874. The most notable thing that he did was write volumes on prayer. And in one of those volumes of prayer, which I'm rereading now for my devotions, he said that commonplace religion is pleasing to the flesh. There is no self-denial in it, no cross-bearing, no self-crucifixion. In other words, no discipleship. As I'm oft as I'm want to say a lot, even a dead fish can float downstream. But discipleship is turning around and swimming upstream. Upstream from the culture, upstream from our church sometimes, and upstream from our desires. That's what it takes to be a disciple. So what will it take for us to move closer to the vision in 2020? I think the first thing that it will take is a focus on discipleship as a church and as individuals. I always laugh at people who say, well, the church should do this, and the church should do that, and the church ought to do this. Well, who is the church? I am. You are. As goes the members of the church, so goes the church. The second thing it will take is intentional risk for the vision, both personally and corporately. Unless we're willing to risk something for the vision that God's given us, then the vision will never be accomplished. The final thing that I think it will take is prayer. Oh, it will take prayer. And not the kind of prayer that's God is good, God is great. Not the kind of prayer, now I lay me down to sleep. Those are good in training children how to pray. But it's going to take more than that. It's going to take you and me praying for the church, praying for people in the community who don't know Christ, praying for the ministries of the church, and then putting those prayers to action by our doing what we are called to do. Dallas Willard said, when it comes to transforming our lives, it takes three different things. It takes, number one, a vision. You got to know what it looks like. And in reality, that's what I've been talking to you about for 2.5 years now. Every sermon that I talk about is in some way or other a vision of what discipleship is. The second thing that it will take is intention. Intention is not just a wish that something would be different. Intention is a desire and a plan. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand on this, but how many of you made, or at least thought about making, a resolution that you're going to get more healthy this year? That's one of the ones that we always make. That may be a desire, but without a plan, it'll never happen. And that's usually where we fall down. We need to have a plan to follow Jesus and do what Jesus commands as a church and as an individual. The last thing Dallas said is vision, intention, means. How is it going to happen? What will we do to make it happen? And for us as a congregation, this is where we can get involved in this. I can be one to set out a vision. We can create them, and we can create the means. It takes study and reflection on Scripture for us as individuals. It takes prayer. It takes a change of behavior. It takes things like support and accountability and service. We're people who will bring to the church the same excellence and skills that they take to their workplace. And they use those even in the church. And when it comes to this discipleship means, this discipleship thing, we can provide the vision and we can provide the means, but only you can provide the intention. Only you can do that. One person said that vision is the world's most desperate need, and that there are no hopeless situations, only people who think hopelessly. Sometimes when we think hopelessly, we stop risking for the vision. I'm reminded of the quote by John Shedd, who said, "A ship in the harbor is safe, but that's not what ships are built for. And a church within the walls is safe, but that's not what the church is built for." I want to ask you a question just to get you kind of stirring on this just a bit. When was the last time you risked something for the vision? For Christ? Let's make this a little bit more practical. You've got in your hand a list of our core values. Core values are simply the ways that we say that we will behave as a church. And you've got a list of those there. I want you to take just a moment and read over that list. And ask yourself that question. Which one or two of these values do I need to risk for in this next year? Is it loving others and loving our neighbors? Is it going and sharing the good news with other people? Is it praying? Is that where I need to risk? Is it growing, allowing God's grace to do something in me and then responding in faith so that I'm become renewed? Or is it following Christ the best way we can in small covenant-based groups, whether it's in Sunday school or in small groups where we're accountable to one another? Which one of those do you need to risk in this coming year? You don't have to share it with anybody, but just look at it and determine in your heart which one it is. And then as we come to Holy Communion, I hope that you'll kneel. And as you're kneeling, or as you're standing at this altar, you'll simply say to God, God, I don't know what it means to risk in this, but I'm open to it. So help me to risk something for the vision that you've given our church. This is the vision. God has made it plain. Let's run as we read it.